So Bloomberg government analyzed federal procurement data and found that there were more than 1,100 multiple war contracts in use across government in fiscal 2011. That's up from just 427 of them in fiscal 2006. And so there's been, you know, this significant growth in the number of vehicles. And if you look at specific companies like SAIC and Lockheed and Raytheon and Computer Sciences Corp, each have, you know, in the neighborhood of 100 multiple war contracts that they participate in. And an important thing to note about multiple war contracts is that being on a MAC is no guarantee of revenue. It's sort of like a hunting license or a ticket to the dance. You then have to bid on task orders to actually get work. And there's a complaint among some in industry that this increasing number results in higher costs for bid and proposals, which then they pass on to the government in the form of higher prices.
Now, CSC and Lockheed are one thing, but a lot of mid and small-sized companies can't afford to be on all those vehicles, on 100 vehicles. So how do they choose which ones to put their bets on to try to get aboard?
It's a tricky thing for companies to figure out which of the MACs will actually translate into big money. There are some multiple contracts like Alliant at the General Services Administration, which see, you know, $1 billion plus in work every year. Others, there's one at the Army called R23G that was billed as a $16 billion contract when it was first created, but the usage has been pretty negligible compared to that, a little bit over $100 million over the past few years. So it's a real challenge, and that's one of the reasons why companies are looking to the White House and to other officials to maybe bring down the number of contracts.
Now, I want to go back to something that we mentioned at the beginning, that multiple award contracts at least are designed to give federal agencies lots of options when it comes to buying services. Given what you're saying about it being hard for some of the smaller companies to compete, are they in fact offering a lot more options to feds?
Well, you know, one of the things that people say is that there are really sort of false options, in the sense that many of the MACs are offering the same services from the same companies, so why not just combine them? Now, the sort of counter argument is that the more MACs that are available for agencies, the better the customer service, for example, that they'll get from procurement offices, the faster the task orders might be awarded, because procurement offices know that there's another option available for buyers. So there's this sort of balancing act that the agencies are trying to make in sort of meeting these different demands.
Now, you said that some vehicles don't do very well. We've heard of that kind of thing happening where it just kind of sits there, and some of them get wildly popular and they have versions 2, 3, and 4 over the decades. Why do some vehicles become popular, and why do some dogs just fail to hunt? Is it something the agency does in operating the MAC?
Yeah, I think a key thing is the ease of use. So, for example, Seaport E is the largest multiple war contract in use in government outside of the GSA schedules, and it's run by the Navy for various professional services, and it has an online portal that buyers can use and there are sort of templates for easily issuing task orders, and the contract is a 15-year contract that allows task orders to be awarded for up to 5 years at a time, which gives agencies some flexibility and if they need something that's a little bit longer. MACs that don't do as well often have more restrictions, so they limit the time that's available for a task order. They don't have these sort of easy templates for task order use, and in some cases the offices that run them, for example with R23G, there were significant staff turnover issues, and the offices were simply not able to respond to agency demands for filling task orders.
Seaport E has about, 500 or 600 contractors on there, so that sounds like the Navy has turned it into kind of an Amazon for services.
It's actually more like 2,400 companies on it, and going back to the challenge that companies have in actually getting money through these vehicles, only about a quarter of the companies that participate in Seaport actually win money on it. Now that doesn't prevent companies from wanting to get on, because as I mentioned, it's the largest contract with more than $6 billion. awarded last year, and even more is likely to happen over the coming years because the Marine Corps' Central Professional Services MAC, called CEOS, is being allowed to expire, and the work that's currently being done through that contract will move to Seaport, so Seaport could become an even bigger contract over the coming years.
We're speaking with Brian Friel, an analyst with Bloomberg Government. And conversely, what can contractors do once they're on a contract, on a MAC, that is, a multiple award vehicle, to make sure that they get some money out of it?
Yeah, you know, one of the reasons that companies get on in the first place is it's just kind of a it's a bit of a stamp of approval. It says, you know, I'm on this vehicle, I'm available, you know, for you to use. One thing that companies do is analyze the data to see which companies are doing well and figuring out why they're winning work as opposed to others. So for example, SAIC is on more than 100 multiple contracts and wins work on most of those contracts. So companies can look at companies like SAIC and figure out, well, what is it that they're doing that makes them successful? And one of the things is really setting up their bid and proposal shops to really respond very quickly to task orders when they come up, because one thing that industry executives say is that a task order could pop up that they weren't expecting on a particular contract, and they have to have, you know, a couple weeks at most to respond sometimes.
And the news from last week was that most agencies are really struggling to meet their small business contracting goals. Are MACs making that hard? Are they contributing to that being out of reach for some agencies?
There's definitely a view that MACs limit small business participation, but our analysis found that the percentage of contract dollars awarded through MACs to small businesses is actually higher than in contracts overall. So we found about 23.6% of contract dollars awarded through MACs were awarded to small businesses last year, which is actually above the statutory requirement of 23% and above what was met overall. But there's still that sense, and in some cases on the Homeland Security's Central Technology Services contract called Eagle, the numbers are much lower. And so agencies are increasingly setting aside work on MACs for small businesses, creating pools for just small disadvantaged businesses through the SBA's 8A program, or women-owned businesses, or veteran-owned businesses, and saying certain types of work have to first be competed among those small businesses before large businesses can have the opportunity to compete. So it's likely that the amount of money being awarded to small businesses through MACs will increase because of this increased use of set-asides.
GSA Alliant, as you mentioned, is pretty successful. They're getting some multi-$100 million task orders, but there's also an Alliant Small Business. And does your research show how the Small Business Alliant version is doing relative to the Big Business Alliant version?
It's growing too. It's not a $9 billion contract, but it has you know, hundreds of millions of dollars of work through it as well. You know, one challenge that that companies face when they get on MACs is that if there are prior MACs in existence, the task orders on those existing MACs take some time to run out, so there will be a lag time before companies start seeing work on it. And an example of that are the Alliant contracts, where there was work done on the Millennia and Millennia Light, which were predecessor contracts, and it took a while for those task orders to finish up and for work to move to the new contracts. So one thing for companies to keep in mind when they get on these MACs is there can be a lag time of up to a couple years before orders really start picking up on new MACs.
In any case, OMB is going to clamp down. They want to narrow down the number of MACs in the future, though, right?
Yeah, last year the OMB created a business case process. It basically sort of says it's a mother may I process for MACs. So you have to ask permission from the OMB before you create a new one. And the idea is to get agencies to look at existing MACs and consider using them first. Now, we talked to the new head of the Office of Federal Procurement Policy, Joe Jordan. He said that no proposed MACs have yet been rejected, but some of the MACs have been narrowed in scope. So, for example, if an agency had proposed a MAC for various technology purchases, the agency might say, you know, we'll buy some of this stuff off the schedules, off the existing GSA schedules, and some of it off of NASA's SOUP for computer hardware, and we'll use our MAC for just some things that we can't buy from those existing programs.